The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, April 17th through Sunday, April 23rd, 2023. The commentary for the month of April was written by Kim Becker, a priest and poet of Euro and Cherokee descent who serves in North Dakota. She is a former hospice and ICU trauma chaplain and is trained as a racial healer. The commentary for Monday, April 17th, begins as follows. It begins with a passage from the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, Daniel 1, verse 17b. Daniel also had insight into all visions and dreams. In his book, Dreams, A Way to Listen to God, Morton Kelsey writes about how dreams are important not only in the Bible, but also in our own spiritual lives. I often share my significant dreams with my spiritual director. God uses not only our waking hours, but also our sleeping hours to speak to us. I once left a cushy position after a dream in which I said, "It's beautiful here, but there's no air." Of course, not every dream has deep meaning. As a priest, I've dreamed about arriving to a service without a sermon or vestments. But I urge you to pay attention to the dreams that speak powerfully to you. I even write mine down in a journal in the morning so I won't forget them. Daniel was a prophet, and each of us can be prophetic if we are willing to look hard, not by seeing the future, but by attempting to see God's version of the present, as Rabbi Abraham Heschel writes about in the Prophets. People often do not want to see as God sees. That would require too much honesty, demand too much change, and yet God keeps speaking to us even through dreams. And now I'll read from the full passage for today from the book of Daniel, chapter 1, verses 1 through 21. In the third year of the reign of King Jehoiakim of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord let King Jehoiakim of Judah fall into his power, as well as some of the vessels of the house of God. These he brought to the land of Shinar, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his gods. Then the king commanded his palace master Ashpenaz to bring some of the Israelites of the royal family and the nobility, young men without physical defect and handsome, versed in every branch of wisdom, endowed with knowledge and insight, and competent to serve in the king's palace. They were to be taught the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of the royal rations of food and wine. They were to be educated for 3 years, so that at the end of that time they could be stationed in the king's court. Among them were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah from the tribe of Judah. The palace master gave them other names. Daniel he called Belshazzar, Hananiah he called Shadrach, Mishael he called Meshach, and Azariah he called Abednego. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the royal rations of food and wine. So he asked the palace master to allow him not to defile himself. Now God allowed Daniel to receive favor and compassion from the palace master. The palace master said to Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king. He has appointed your food and your drink. If he should see you in poorer condition than the other young men of your own age, you would endanger my head with the king." Then Daniel asked the guard whom the palace master had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. You can then compare our appearance with the appearance of the young men who eat the royal rations, and deal with your servants according to what you observe." So he agreed to this proposal and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, it was observed that they appeared better and fatter than all the young men who had been eating the royal rations. So the guard continued to withdraw their royal rations and the wine they were to drink, and gave them vegetables. To these four young men God gave knowledge and skill in every aspect of literature and wisdom. Daniel also had insight into all visions and dreams. At the end of the time that the king had set for them to be brought in, the palace master brought them into the presence of Nebuchadnezzar, and the king spoke with them. And among them all, no one was found to compare with Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they were stationed in the king's court. In every matter of wisdom and understanding concerning which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel continued there until the first years of King Cyrus. And the moving forward question for this day is very simply, God is speaking. Are you listening? And now the commentary for Tuesday, April 18th, begins with a passage from Psalm 5, verse 1. "Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation." Although the Psalter petitions God to consider our meditation, I like other translations that call to God to give heed to our sighing. Turns out sighing has a physiological purpose. If we did not sigh, the alveoli in our lungs could eventually collapse, causing lung failure. I did not know this until I started to go to acupuncture to manage chronic pain. I found myself sighing deeply, and the practitioner told me this was a sign of releasing tension held within the body. We believe in a Creator who cares about our sighs, who considers them. Our sighs do not go unnoticed. We are also called to heed, to pay attention to the sighs of others out of love. And this extends beyond human beings to also our four-legged and six and eight and more friends, and even the earth itself. Sighing in the throes of global warming, the rivers sigh as they are harnessed and redirected away from native lands for the purpose of building dams. Fields and flowers sigh as they bear the ravages of fires and extreme weather, the blights of global warming. Sighs are significant. Heed them. And now I'm going to read from the full psalm for this day, Psalm 5. It begins, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, give heed to my sighing. Listen to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice, in the morning I plead my case to you and watch. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness, evil will not sojourn with you. The boastful will not stand before your eyes, you hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in awe of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. For there is no truth in their mouths. Their hearts are destruction. Their throats are open graves. They flatter with their tongues. Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of their many transgressions, cast them out, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, so that those who love your name may exult in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover them with favor as with a shield. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, try sighing deeply right now. How does it feel? And now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, April 19th. It begins with a passage from the first letter of John, chapter 2, verse 1a. I am writing these things to you. Remember writing actual letters before email, before texts? One of my greatest aches during a major move was losing the letters my grandmother wrote to me. I can still see them in my mind's eye, but oh, how I wish I still had them. Letters matter. When I think about letters I've written and received, some were love letters, but the focus was on a person, and naturally, most of those relationships have faded. But love letters from God never go by the wayside unless we let them. Just as I read my grandmother's letters and heard her love for me, letters in Scripture also remind us of God's love and concern for us. What if we went back to reading these long-ago letters and inserted our name in the beginning? Dear Kim, I am writing these things to you. Love God. What a difference that might make. And now I'm going to read from the full passage from 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven on account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young people, because you have conquered the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young people, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. The love of the Father is not in those who love the world, for all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, the pride in riches, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desire are passing away, but those who do the will of God will live forever. And the moving forward suggestion for this day is this: write a letter, an actual one on paper, and send it to a loved one. Now let's move on to the commentary for Thursday, April 20th. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verse 2b. The Word of God came to John. The story of John the Baptist is familiar, but I have often skimmed over this first part that says the Word of God came to John. What does that mean? Has the Word of God also come to us? We believe that in the beginning was the Word, and that God spoke the Word into being. Yet human words can often be painful. They can cause much divisiveness of taking sides and cutting down others who are different from us. John spoke words he heard from God, and they were not very gentle words. You brood of vipers. But John spoke urgently and roughly because he wanted to get people's attention. Have we lost that sense of urgency today? Have we forgotten the necessity of hearing and responding to God's word? Yes, many of us have been baptized as John called for, but do we continue to expect the Word of God to come to us? If not, why not? And now I'll read from the full passage for this Thursday, April 20th. It's from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all the flesh shall see the salvation of God. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." And the moving forward question for this day is, consider what it means that the word of God has come to you. Are you responding urgently like John, compelled to share with others? The commentary for Friday, April 21st, begins with a passage from Psalm 16, verse 9b. "My body also shall rest in hope." It is not the case that everybody rests in hope. As I write this, Holocaust survivors from Ukraine are fleeing to try to survive yet another war. We Christians believe in community just as the Trinity is community. Therefore, until everybody rests in hope, we have work yet to do. Unhoused people who live in tents, under overpasses, in cardboard boxes, may not rest well in hope. The threat of no-knock warrants does not allow many to rest in hope. And to those who say that if the people hadn't done anything wrong, they could rest securely, I counter that race matters in how people are treated, full stop. I come from a background of privilege. Although I am a mixed descent, including Cherokee, I present as a white woman and therefore am accorded white privilege. I rest in hope and security much easier than my darker-skinned brothers and sisters. It is our prayer to rest in hope in God's love, but we must serve the marginalized, as did Jesus, so that all may finally rest in hope. And I'm going to read from that full psalm there, Psalm 16 from the Old Testament. "Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, 'You are my Lord. I have no good apart from you.' As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble in whom is all my delight. Those who choose another god multiply their sorrows. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful one see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And the moving forward question for this Friday is, what work is before you in your community so that all can rest in hope? The commentary for Saturday, April 22nd, begins with a passage from Luke chapter 4, verse 2, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. In Greek, the word for devil means adversary, but not the proverbial red devil with a pitchfork tail. Many of us face adversaries that are far more difficult to recognize and more insidious. They come in the guises of money, power, sex, food. Society is full of temptation. Starting in the morning, when many of us, myself included, reach for our phones or other devices to see what we missed on social media overnight. While the devil tempts Jesus for 40 days, he does not fall for the adversary's wiles. Unlike us, Jesus is fully human and fully divine. But for mere mortals, it can indeed be tempting to put our own comfort above our right relation with the Creator and with one another. Being tempted does not make us weak, it makes us human. Whenever we experience temptation, we can know that Jesus is with us. And as to the adversary, in the words of Martin Luther, one little word shall fell him. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. And the moving forward question for this day, what adversaries in your life tempt you to stray from God's path? Pray for strength to resist the temptations. And we conclude the readings for this week with a look at Sunday, April 23rd, the third Sunday of Easter. The message begins with a passage from Acts 2, verse 36b, the Jesus whom you crucified. Whenever I have the honor of doing a baptism, I remember that immersion into water symbolizes dying with Christ. Our Episcopal sprinkling doesn't necessarily have the same dramatic effect, but the sacrament is the same, to die and be raised to new life in Christ. We may think we have nothing to do with Jesus' crucifixion, but we crucify him every time we let a racist or prejudicial comment go unremarked, whenever we put our will above God's will. That's why baptism isn't carte blanche to do anything we want to do. We need confession, corporate or individual, so we can regain our spiritual balance. The words of the baptismal liturgy remind us of the importance of renouncing evil and renewing our commitment to Jesus. The promises we make on behalf of the baptized, and that perhaps our parents or other adults made on our behalf, call us into right relationship with God and with others. Next time I baptize a small person, I will likely tear up as I witness this sacred moment, a newborn Christian's journey from death to life in Christ. And the passage from today is from Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 41. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, how can the words in the service of baptism help you regain spiritual balance? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.